We hear the words today of the revelation given to St. John, the 22nd chapter, the final verses. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Make sure you look both ways when you cross the street. Make sure you wear your coat. Obey the speed limit. Make sure you wear your seatbelt. Don't get caught up in the party life when you're away at college. What were the final words of advice your parents gave you when they dropped you off here at the dorm? Maybe your first year, or maybe a second year. Quite often when parents are speaking to their children in the last moments before they're going to go somewhere, they're not going to be with them anymore and they're going to leave them, they will give them this very important bit of advice. It's as if all of their parental love and concern and responsibility gets boiled down into and distilled down into one poignant point that has to be made to the child, and that one important bit of advice that is for their care and protection. When Moses was about to be separated from the children of Israel, whom he had led through the Exodus in the wilderness, and was just now about ready to enter the promised land, and God forbid him to go because of some disobedience earlier on. In his final words to them, listen to what Moses said to them. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And isn't it interesting in the text in front of us that the Holy Spirit would certainly be aware of where the placement of these words would fall in our typical Bibles today? It would seem to be no accident that the Holy Spirit has placed them in the final four verses of the canon for us. This week we are celebrating the week of Sexagesima, and when we focus on the Word of God. Tomorrow in our text we will hear of the great parable of the sower and the seed. And not only does the Word of God create the church of believers who come to love Christ and trust in Him to get to heaven, but that very Word is and becomes our only connection to God. If you think of it, it's the only connection we really have to our Heavenly Father above, along with the sacraments that that Word creates. That's why Jesus said about his words, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. They're not just knowledge about things. They have the Holy Spirit's power connected to them and in them to bring us to faith, keep us in faith, and ultimately bring us to everlasting life. That's why Paul said to Timothy about the scriptures, they are able to make you wise for salvation. And so it's absolutely crucial for us as followers of Christ, as those who look forward to his return and pray for it that he would come quickly, it is important for us as his believers that we remain with the very precise Word of God. Our text warns about two great dangerous ditches that would get us off of the path of faith and the path of Scripture. And they are dangerous ditches not only in the study of theology in general or for church bodies, but they're also dangerous ditches for each one of us individually in our own spiritual lives. The ditches of legalism and liberalism. These are the two great ways to fall away from the path of faith. It's interesting that the first verses, the first quotation from the mouth of Satan in the Bible is this. Did God really say? And he hasn't stopped saying that ever since that point in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? There's a temptation in all of us to listen to that voice. When a babysitter has been given authority over some children by the parents, quite often the parents will leave her with a list of duties and things to do and responsibilities and certain rules and commands that the children are to follow and are to obey. And that authority now given to this young man or woman may lead them to get a big head about their authority and demand more than the parents ask, kind of add even more laws to show their superiority over these children that they've been placed over. Or they might be tempted, on the other hand, to become more lenient and to really not follow what the parents have said. Both of these deviations are rebellion against the words of the parents, and they're also dangerous for the children. We have a tendency inside of us to stray to one side or the other from the Word of God and from the doctrine of Scripture. We either have a desire to add to it or to take away from it. Legalism, adding to the Word of God, basically is a thought inside of us, God has not said enough. God should have said more on a certain subject, and it's my duty and my responsibility to tell people what that is. And I'm going to come up with additional rules that will help us be spiritual people. And quite often connected to that is a Pharisaical pride of trying to wrap God's laws and words with even more layers so that, my, look how much better we can be than others. Liberalism, the other ditch, on the other hand, is the temptation to think God has said way too much. We don't need to listen to all of it. It's a temptation to remove portions of Scripture. Just as Thomas Jefferson took out an actual knife and cut little bits of his Bible apart to remove pages and pieces that he didn't think fit his reason, this is the temptation for us today. And boy, does my sinful flesh ever love that. And does the culture and the world that we live in today ever love liberalism? God has said way too much. We know so much better. Now, Satan's goal is to have you fall into either one of these ditches. To be honest, he really doesn't care which one it is, as long as it gets you away from the narrow path that leads to the mansions above. Both deviations are rooted in the sinful pride of man, and they are rooted in a desire in us to remove God from his seat of authority over us as he guides us through his word. Listen to the stern warning summarized in some commentary words by a professor named George Steckart. If anyone dares to add anything to these words or minimize them, upon him God will once take awful revenge. Such an act is considered a sacrilege and a heinous crime. Anyone who perpetrates such a hateful act deliberately surely cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit in this text is trying to underscore for us the tremendous significance that the Word of God itself, in its purity, that the Word of God holds for us, for our future, as well as for our present day life here in this world as God's children. That narrow path of faith, following Scripture, loving Christ, coming before Him in repentance of our many sins, holding on to the wonderful atonement on the cross that he did for each one of us, shedding his blood to forgive us, the beautiful hope of heaven that we have through faith in him. All of that is encased and embodied in this precious word of God that God has so graciously given to us. God has very specifically measured out precisely, down to the word, what he wants us to know and believe and follow. And that word that he has given us is intrinsically authoritative over us. He hasn't left anything out. There's no place where he's gone too far. There's no place where some other theologian or somebody else needs to add something to complete it. This is why the Bereans in the early church examined St. Paul's doctrine in the light of Holy Scripture to make sure that it was in line and in keeping with that. Because God's word alone is the standard, the norm for the church. Think what wonderful power and blessing it must have that the very Son of God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, goes to that very word for solace, for comfort, for protection, and defense, even against the devil. And that's why he turns that powerful word over to you and me, and he says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Amen.